Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I've entitled the message I want to bring this morning, The Works of Not Working. Now I want to read two verses of Scripture that may appear to be at odds with one another. In Romans chapter 4, verse 5, Paul said, "To him that worketh not, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now, this man does not work, and yet he is counted by God as righteous. And then James says in James chapter 2, verse 24, "You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." He also says in this passage of Scripture, "Faith without works is dead, being alone." Now, those two scriptures on the surface seem to contradict one another. We read of that one who does not work. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And James still says, "A man is justified by works and not by faith only." Now, it's my prayer that by the end of this message, we'll understand that those two verses do not contradict one another. Paul said again in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that faith worketh by love. Now, anybody that is saved, anybody that God has saved, anybody that God has done a work of grace in, He's given them a new heart and a new nature. They've been born of the Spirit. They've been born again. They've been birthed into the kingdom of heaven. Anybody that God has saved understands that salvation is all of grace. You've been given an understanding. You understand that your standing before God is in Christ and it's not in your works. You understand that you're accepted in the Beloved, and you understand. You might not understand all the particulars, but in your heart you understand that salvation's of the Lord. You understand God saved you and you didn't save yourself. You understand that. You understand that if you're saved, it's not because you chose God, but because He chose you. Election. Oh, I love the doctrine of election because I love the God of election. It glorifies God. It says God is God, and He chose who would be saved before time began. And this is an act of His grace. He didn't choose you if you're saved because He saw you were better than somebody else. He did it simply because He would. Oh, the glorious sovereignty of His own will. You understand that if you're justified, this was an act of God's grace. To be justified is to be not guilty. And God graciously caused you to be not guilty by taking your guilt and placing it upon His Son and taking His righteousness and making it yours. Your sin truly became the sin of Christ. Not that He committed sin in Himself, but when your sin was laid upon Him, He became guilty of it. And He suffered God's wrath. And His perfect righteousness, His obedience, is given to you. And you understand that's a work of grace. You understand that the new birth, regeneration, is a work of God's grace. He birthed you. He gave you life. You didn't give yourself life. You didn't decide to believe. He gave you life. If you persevere, continue in the faith, you know that's the gift of His grace. You know it's because He's enabled you to. And if you have any spiritual understanding, you know that you would fall unless He keeps you from falling. You understand that salvation is of the Lord. You understand that salvation is by grace. Oh, how I love the grace of God. But let me also say this about grace, about not working. There are works that come from not working. Like Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, in the passage of Scripture that I want to read, we see all the works of not working. We see all the works of faith. We see all the works of grace. Now, like I said, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you know that salvation is by grace and not of your works. You won't give any of your works any of the credit, right down to an act of your free will. You don't say, my free will saved me. I'm saved because I did anything. No, you give God's grace all the credit. Now, I want to read a passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 regarding Moses. Moses believed in salvation by grace. Oh, he believed it wholeheartedly. He knew he was saved by the grace of God. But let's read the New Testament account of Moses, beginning in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. And in this passage of Scripture, we see the true works that come as a result of not working. Verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11, we read, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. A beautiful child is what the word actually means. Exceeding fair. Fair to God. They saw that he was fair to God. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, in this history of Moses, we see all these works that his faith produced. By faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he chose affliction over the pleasures of sin. By faith, he had an estimation of the reproach of Christ as being greater riches than all worldly treasure. He forsook Egypt by faith, and through faith, he kept the Passover. Through faith, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, we see the works that came from Moses' faith of not working, believing his salvation was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. He was a beautiful child. Stephen says in Acts chapter 7 that he was exceeding fair. Exceeding fair to God. Now, you remember what happened during Moses' time. Pharaoh had made a decree that all the newborn babies, males, would be killed, would be thrown away because they were afraid of the Jews becoming too powerful. They were multiplying so much, so he wanted them all killed. And if you had a baby, that baby was to be killed. Now, Moses' parents looked at their baby. And they said, oh, he's such a beautiful child. We're going to save him. No, it's not really like that. It's not like if he wouldn't have been cute, they wouldn't have saved him. No, everybody thinks a baby's cute. But what this is talking about is Moses was beautiful to God. And do you know that every believer is beautiful to God? This is the truth regarding all of God's people. They're all viewed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes every believer beautiful to God. How beautiful is the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, He's exceeding fair. He's fairer than 10,000. He's the bright and morning star. Oh, the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, the beauty of His holiness. That's how beautiful every believer is. Whether you feel like it or not, that's how God sees you. And how God sees you is how you really are, whether you feel it and see it or not. I love what the little Shulamite woman said in the Song of Solomon. She said, "I'm black but comely. I am in myself ugly, but in Christ I am beautiful and holy." Every believer has some understanding of this. Now, Moses' beauty was given to him at birth. And the beauty of every believer is given to him when they're born again, born of the Spirit, and they're given this new nature. Moses was a beautiful child. God did something for him. And this is what every believer's hope is. God has done something for us. He's made us beautiful in His dear Son. The beauty of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, is given to every believer. Now let's go on reading about Moses. Now he was a beautiful child, fair to God. And here's how this was translated in his life. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now do you remember what took place? They put him in that ark in the river and waited to see what would take place. And Pharaoh's daughter saw him and took him into her own home and raised him. And because of that, he was given all the privileges of being a son of Pharaoh's daughter. And some people say he was even in line for the throne of being the next Pharaoh. But what did he do? He refused all that. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He rejected that, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, perhaps being Pharaoh's daughter could have given him all kinds of influence, and he could have reasoned with himself, you know, if I'm the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that'll give me political influence. I can help my brethren. I can get them out of the mess they're in. I'll have all kinds of money to help them, all kinds of influence. And surely it would be better for me to stay the son of Pharaoh's daughter so I can help my brethren rather than just refuse that. You know, that's fleshly thinking. If we think something like that, we think, well, the Lord can be aided through our help and our influence and so on. And that's ridiculous. The Lord doesn't need me. The Lord doesn't need you. He doesn't need fleshly influence. And Moses understood that. And he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He rejected all the influence of being maybe in line for the throne, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He wanted to be identified with God's people rather than Egypt. He thought, this is better, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, by the pleasures of sin, he meant all that's associated. The wealth, the education, the influence that was involved in being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and all the power and prestige he would have in that. Things that maybe in and of themselves were not sinful. But he rejected all that, the pleasures of sin, and he chose rather to be identified with the despised people of God, who were in such a bad shape at that time, under the thumb of Pharaoh. Verse 26, and here's why he did this. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. Now let's camp on that for a moment. He looked at the reproach of Christ and he considered that greater riches than all the wealth, all the influence of Egypt. Now what made him make that estimation? What made him make that choice? He chose this. He saw it as greater riches. What made him make that choice? Well, the first question I got to ask is, what does the Bible mean by the reproach of Christ? Moses looked at the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ and considered that the greatest of all riches, greater than anything this world can afford. What is the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. I realize that the Jesus that is preached by most preachers is not someone the world hates. Sometimes I think his name ought to be turned into Genie, not Jesus. Just get your wishes out of him. He's going to help you this way. He's going to help you that way. And I know, but he's a Jesus you can control, who can't do what he wants unless you let him to. Nobody's offended by that Jesus. That Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible, but he's a non-existent. Nobody's afraid of him. Nobody's offended by him. But the Christ of the Bible, men are offended by. That's what the Scripture says. Isaiah 53 says he's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That's the way the natural man looks at the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why do I say that? The Christ of the Bible is God. He is in absolute control. Now, you listen to me. The fact of the matter is, you're in His hands. He's not in yours. The Christ of the Bible is the one who can do with you whatever He's pleased to do. He's in sovereign control. He can save you or He can pass you by. And whatever He does is right. Now, that Christ, men become offended at. They don't like that Christ. They don't like His teaching. Now, the reproach of Christ. The reproach of Christ. The natural man reproaches. The word reproach means defame. Defame. Now, here's what it is to bear the reproach of Christ. Listen real carefully. Somebody says, do you really believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God and that there's no error in it? Are you so gullible as to believe something that silly? That book is nothing less than the Word of God? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God controls everything? Do you really believe that He is the first cause behind everything, as the Bible declares Him to be? Absolutely sovereign, sovereign in creation, sovereign in providence, sovereign in salvation, the first cause behind everything. You don't believe in evolution? You don't believe in a Big Bang theory? You believe God is, and that He's as the Bible claims Him to be, just, holy, righteous, that you're in His hands and that He's the first cause behind everything? You really believe that? And do you really believe what the Bible says about men, that they're completely and totally evil and depraved? Now, let me give you a scripture. Genesis 6:5 says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you really believe something so morose about man that he's nothing but evil? And do you really believe that when Christ died, He died for the elect and actually accomplished their salvation? You mean to tell me you don't believe He died for everybody and made salvation possible for everybody and didn't give everybody a chance, but that He actually saved everybody He died for? You really believe that? Do you really believe that God's grace is invincible and irresistible and cannot be resisted, that men cannot reject it? You really believe that if God has grace on somebody, they're going to be saved and they'll be saved? Do you really believe that you're saved by somebody else's righteousness, or righteousness that you had nothing to do with? It's holy, what somebody else did, and it becomes yours and you're saved by that? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that the gospel is the only way and all other ways are wrong, and that all other religions are wrong? Do you really believe that? Yes, I do. Well, who are you? Why, that's foolishness. Why, the world doesn't believe that. Well, how big is your church? How much influence do you have? Do you really believe something like that? That's the reproach of Christ. Men reproached Christ when He lived upon this earth. The religious people hated Him. And they reproach Him now. They reproach His gospel. And Moses understood something about the reproach of Christ. And he said, that's greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Now listen to me. Give me the choice between bearing the reproach of Christ and giving me $100 million. And it's not even a choice. I don't even have to think about it. I want the reproach of Christ. That's greater riches than all the treasures of this world. Now, you see, when someone has true faith in Christ, this love to His person, this belief in His gospel, they will choose affliction over the pleasures of sin, esteeming this reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. You see, he had, as verse 26 says, respect unto the recompense of the reward. What if you got all this world had to offer? What good would it do you in eternity? Absolutely nothing. But oh, if you have Christ, you have everything. In verse 27, it says, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, this is very interesting. In the Old Testament account, he was afraid of the wrath of the king. You remember that he murdered somebody, hid the body. When somebody found out about it, he was scared to death and fled into the land of Midian. Yet in the New Testament, it says he didn't fear the wrath of the king. Now, there's a reason for that. The Old Testament gives the account of the flesh. Oh, his flesh feared the wrath of the king. But the New Testament gives the account of the Spirit, the new man. This is the real Moses. The flesh, it was there, but it's over. This is the account of the New Testament. By faith, he forsook Egypt. That means he renounced Egypt. Now, Egypt is typical. As a matter of fact, if you look in Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, Jerusalem, the place where the Lord Jesus Christ is called spiritually Sodom and Egypt. Jerusalem, the place where Christ was killed, is called spiritually Sodom and Egypt. Egypt represents man, man's religion, man's effort, man's philosophy, man's ways. Sodom. You know what Sodom represents? It represents the Sodomites. Now, homosexuality in and of itself is no more sinful than fornication or adultery or lying or anything like that. I can't stand the way religious people become homophobic in the sense they feel like they're righteous because they're not homosexuals and they're almost patting themselves on the back and despise somebody else. I do not approve of that view in any way. But the Bible does condemn the Sodomites and homosexuality for this reason. For this reason, it pictures that which cannot produce life. The act, but it can't produce life, pictures man's religion. The act of supposed worship, but it never produces spiritual life. It can't do it. Sodom and Egypt, Egyptian darkness, Egyptian ways. Moses renounced all that. He renounced it. He turned his back on it. He said, I won't have anything to do with it. And where there's faith in Christ, there's a renouncing of Egypt, of man's religion, of man's ways and so on. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He persevered looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 28, it says, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Through faith, he kept the Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says that the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And the Passover that you read about in Exodus 11, 12, and 13 tells how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, God says as a judgment against Egypt, I'm going to pass through the land and I'm going to destroy all the firstborn of the land. But there was one place of safety. Here's what the children of Israel were called upon to do. He never told the Egyptians to do this. He told the children of Israel to do it. The Paschal lamb wasn't for everybody. It was for God's people. He said, you take a lamb without blemish and without spot, picturing the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never sinned. And you slay it. And you take the blood and you put it over the doorposts of your home and you get in the house with the blood over the door. And God said this, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He didn't say when I see your works. He didn't say when I see your good deeds. He didn't say when I see your good intentions. He didn't say when I see your faith. He didn't say when I see your acts of obedience. He didn't say when I see your Bible reading or your praying. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What's the one thing God was looking for? blood. When I see the blood. He didn't say when you see the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, what if some Israelite would have said, well, I think I'll put up gold. It's just as good. God would have killed them. The one thing God was looking for was blood. When I see the blood of that Paschal Lamb, I'll pass in mercy over you. Now, what is the one thing that would have proved you believed what God said? You would have got in the house with the blood over the door. Now, Moses believed God. He kept the Passover. He knew that if he wasn't in the house with blood over the door, God would destroy him. Now, how did he know that? Because he knew he was a sinner. He knew God was holy. He knew God was just. He knew that God is righteous and he cannot accept sin. Moses had some understanding that the blood of Christ put away sin. He wasn't looking to the blood of that physical lamb, but what that blood represented, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses looked to Christ, and the prayer of Moses was, oh, that I may be found in him. Now, when God's passing through the land, where do I want to be found? In one of those houses with the blood over the door. That's the only place I want to be found. And he said, you take that lamb and you kill it and you eat all of it. How much of it did they have to eat? All of it. How much of the gospel do you have to believe? All of it. There's no part you cannot believe. Moses kept the Passover. It says through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now Moses was somebody who believed in salvation by grace. And you know what proved he really believed that salvation was all of grace? His works. That he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose affliction over the pleasures of sin. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured. He persevered as seeing him who is invisible. You see, faith is not just in a doctrine, it's in a person. That's what caused him to persevere. Through faith, he kept the Passover. What is it that proved that Abraham really believed grace? His works. Salvation is by grace. And you understand, if God ever saves you, that salvation doesn't come to you because of your works. And what's the proof you really believe that? Your works. You see, faith worketh by love.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.